Today and tomorrow are WRAL weather alert days due to the threat for continued flooding. I'll outline which parts of the triangle are under a flash flood warning right now, coming up.
Also this noon, where a huge tree came crashing down on a house, trapping three people inside.
And more severe weather danger today. A neighbor tells us what happened after a bolt of lightning sparked a fire at a townhouse in Garner.
Nine counties, including Wake, Durham, and Harnett counties, are under flood alerts right now. Thanks for joining us this noon. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Keely Arthur in for Renee Chu. The WRAL weather team has issued a WRAL weather alert day as we anticipate anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of rain across our region. Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with where it's coming down right now. Kat?
Some areas have already seen up to 4 inches of rain today, and flooding is our biggest concern at this point. A new flash flood warning was just issued within the past 20 minutes. This includes Durham and Chapel Hill, and the heavier rain is just about to make its way into Chapel Hill. Durham will be next, and you can see that band of heavy rain right now. It's headed right for Durham, and we could see additional 1 to 2 inches of rain from this system. Could lead to some ponding on the roads. Remember, turn around, don't drown. That's going to be our biggest concern this afternoon. We have the flash flood warning in effect, but also flood advisories extending into Chatham County, Wake County, and down into Harnett County. The outline right here where we've seen some of the heaviest rain so far today. Fuquay Varina, 3 to 4 inches of rain has already fallen. Sanford, nearly 2 inches, over an inch in parts of Apex, closer to 2 inches, and just under 2 inches in the northeastern part of Wake County. This has been significant rain, and it's led to some storm reports. We'll have team coverage of some of these reports. Tree down on a house in Sanford, flooding in Fuquay Varina, a house fire in Garner, thanks to lightning, unfortunately, and the WRAL storm tracker is headed to the new flash flood warning in Durham right now. We have more rain on the way after this. Already some areas seeing 2 to 4 inches of rain, but we could add 2 to 3 inches of rain on top of that over the next 48 hours. With more rain on the way, that is why we've issued a WRAL weather alert day, not just today, but tomorrow as well. A 100% chance for rain pretty much all day long. I'll outline future counts for the remainder of this evening and tomorrow, and when the rain finally clears out, coming up.
Kat, you mentioned that the WRAL storm tracker was on the road, and we are watching it here with live dual Doppler 5000 radar, tracking the storm tracker as it moves into South Durham. I'm going to take you to live pictures from I-40. Approaching Page Road in the 885 interchange, you can see where we are seeing those wet roads there. The windshield wipers are going, and Doppler radar indicating that even heavier rain is on its way into South Durham. It's back in Chapel Hill and Hillsborough now, heading toward Durham, and with that flash flood warning in effect, a reminder, do not try to drive across a flooded road. I want to show you a couple of traffic problems I'm watching here in the noon hour. On the west side of Raleigh, a crash on 440 westbound between Western Boulevard and Athens Drive cleared just a few minutes ago, and you can see traffic is flowing a lot more freely out there. And as we head over toward Durham and Chapel Hill, we are picking up some heavy delays on 40 westbound, beginning around Farrington Road through 15501. By the time you get out to the Irwin Road area on the north side of Chapel Hill, it looks like traffic's flowing freely. We'll keep an eye on this. Another update at 12:30.
Three people had to be rescued from a home in Sanford after a tree came crashing down during this morning's storms. One person suffered minor injuries. WRAL's Keenan Willard is at the home right now. Keenan, what a dramatic scene this was.
Jeff, looking at this behind me, you have to wonder how it didn't turn out worse for this family. With six people home when this happened, this tree basically shearing off the front of this single family home in Sanford here on 3rd Street. It's created a huge mess out here that's going to have to take hours to clean up. But again, only one person suffering minor injuries. It's pretty miraculous considering what we know from the Sanford Fire Department. So this is everything that happened. The storms pick up this morning and you can see the impact right out of their front yard. The tree basically pulled down the front half of the home. Three people were able to get outside, but three of them were in a front bedroom area that was trapped off from the rest of the home. Crews had to go around the back of the structure and pull each person out to safety. Now, none of those three were actually the person injured. That woman hit by a bit of sheetrock or something that was kicked up when this impact happened. She suffered a mild concussion, according to emergency responders, but is doing pretty well considering the alternative after what happened to their home here. Crews are going to have to go ahead and cut off all of this tree to get it away from the home. And for the time being, the Red Cross is going to be providing temporary emergency housing for this family. But the hours ahead look pretty difficult for this cleanup crew, specifically because beyond just the tree, there are power lines basically down, up and down for about a quarter mile surrounding these homes. Duke Energy crews by at least five or six trucks on either side of the street are out in full force trying to figure out how they're going to extricate all these wires from this mess. And only then can they restore power. So it's something we're going to be watching definitely for the hours ahead. Back to you.
Keenan, thanks for that update there. What a scene. It was a busy morning for law enforcement agencies across the county who responded to numerous accidents. There was a minor accident on U.S. 1 near Cary Parkway. This is an area prone to flash flooding and heavy rainfall. There are no reports of any injuries out of that. And crews were also busy this morning in northern Wake County cleaning up this crash. I-540 near Creedmoor Road. Our news crew was on the scene as a tow truck was removing an SUV that had flipped on its side, taking out the guardrail. Troopers tell us the vehicle hydroplaned in the weather. Two other cars got caught up in that crash. One had pretty bad front end damage. There are no injuries and no word on charges. It's unclear if weather played a role in this crash on Lake Wheeler Road that seriously injured at least one person. It happened before 2:30 this morning on Lake Wheeler Road near Centennial Parkway and the State Farmers Market. It blocked that area for hours. It appeared the car hit a tree. One person involved was taken to a local hospital. A black car with a shattered windshield also appeared to be part of the police investigation.
Firefighters say it was lightning that sparked a fire at a townhome in Garner. WREL's Naya Hardin spoke to the fire chief and a neighbor nearby this morning.
In 1010, the Garner fire chief says it happened this morning when the lightning caused a fire. Thankfully, the homeowners and neighbors were able to escape unharmed, but those who live nearby are still shaken by what happened.
We could hear the storm kind of coming through, and then there was really loud thunder, and then this, like, kind of really loud bang noise, and we kind of started to smell smoke a little bit, but really didn't think about it. And then the far neighbor had my number. She gave me a call and just said, hey, just letting you know, in between us, there's a house on fire. You guys might want to get out. So naturally, we grabbed all of our things, grabbed my dog, ran out, and the whole roof was just ablaze.
The building is not sprinklered, so the fire grew. Once crews got here, they went inside to try to extinguish the fire. The residents were home, but they evacuated it, so we had no injuries, civilian injuries, nor firefighter injuries during the incident.
Naya Hardin, WREL News, Garner.
And on this WREL Weather Alert Day, we're monitoring travel in and out of Raleigh-Durham International here in the WREL Live Center, taking a look at the numbers within the last couple of minutes, courtesy of FlightAware. You see there are 22 delayed flights at RD International, just two canceled flights. If you were with us during our morning newscast, that number was just to five, and now it's up to 22. I want to give you a look at the big picture, the misery map, again, courtesy of FlightAware. A lot of the flights leaving RD International sometimes connect through Charlotte and Atlanta. We checked Charlotte just right now. 56 delayed flights, one cancellation there at Charlotte Douglas International. A lot of flights also connect to Atlanta. Right now, there are 40 delayed flights in Atlanta, five cancellations as usual. If you have a flight out of RD International today, check the status of that flight before heading to the airport.
Well, some of the most severe flooding we've seen so far is right here in Wake County. This morning, Mineral Spring Park flooded. Since, though, it has receded. And we sent WREL's Michael Grace there to check it out. He joins us live now in Fuquay Marina.
Yeah, and we're here at the park. You can tell that it is all gone, but still a lot of mud from that flooding earlier. They had this whole section of South Spring Avenue blocked off, no one getting in, no one getting out. And check out this video of what this flooding looked like at its full force. You could hear it sound like one of those rivers in Colorado, people going whitewater rafting, going right over the bridge in the park. It was up to my shin in terms of the water was here on South Spring Avenue, and just standing water all over the grass. Now, people said that there is a creek right here, and that's just what overflowed. So a very dangerous situation if you were driving out in this area. Now, lightning was also a big problem in Fuquay this morning. Earlier at around 7, there was a home that was struck by lightning. There was actually a fire in the attic after that. The family was asleep at the time. Luckily, everybody made it out. Minimal damage there, but you know, with the flooding and the lightning here in Fuquay Varina, it was a busy morning for authorities. And right now, we have just been driving around the rain. Now, mostly at a drizzle, but you can see a lot of the damage from what was going on this morning, including this creek here still flowing pretty fast. Live in Fuquay Varina, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
Michael, thank you. Well, you can track severe weather anytime with the WRAL Weather app. It lets you watch the latest forecasts and check out the radar. The WRAL Weather app is available for Apple and Android devices.
Tennessee's Republican-controlled House voted to expel two black Democrats from their seats over their roles in a gun safety protest on the chamber floor last weekend. A third lawmaker was not voted out. She's a white woman. Now, House legislators claim the three Democrats engaged in disorderly behavior when they led supporters in chants demanding stricter gun safety measures on the chamber floor. State Representative Justin Jones was one of those two lawmakers expelled. In an interview on MSNBC, Jones called the move disturbing, and the nation now faces a dangerous precedent.
I hope that the nation sees and the alarm is blaring loud, because if it can happen in Tennessee, it can happen anywhere. And they set a very dangerous precedent going forward. This is the first expulsion for First Amendment activity in Tennessee. All other expulsions, the other three over 200 years, have been around a criminal or unethical behavior, never for a breach of a rule, never for a breach of decorum.
Jones called the pact a public and political lynching and says the body showed the world that they are built on white fragility.
And progressive lawmakers, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, are calling for Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas to be impeached. Criticism against Thomas is mounting after a new report from ProPublica shows Justice Thomas accepted luxury trips from a Republican donor for decades and did not disclose them properly. The report found Justice Thomas took various trips on the donor's yacht and private jet. The donor denied the trips were meant in any way to influence Thomas. And for the first time in 12 months, the jobs report came in below expectations. Employers added just 236,000 jobs in March, coming in below expectations and indicating that the labor market is cooling off. The unemployment rate dropped by 3.5%, according to the March jobs report released today by the government. And leisure and hospitality led sectors with growth, with 72,000 jobs.
One of the biggest esports events in the country kicks off here in Raleigh this weekend. Thousands of fans will pack PNC Arena for the League Championship Series esports tournament. Teams will battle for the LCS trophy and a chance to compete internationally in London. The host is Riot Games, and the group selected Raleigh for the tournament, calling the city an emerging domestic esports hub. The event is tomorrow and Sunday. Meantime, next at noon, the family of a woman shot and killed by Fayetteville police is suing two officers and the city. We're live with why that family is calling for charges.
Also, fishing season is canceled in California. The reason why and what it means for the salmon industry.
Plus at 12:30, we take you back out to the WRAL Storm Tracker for an update on conditions on this WRAL Weather Alert Day.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The annual Easter community dinner and basket giveaway is in full swing at the Durham Rescue Mission right now. Volunteers were up before daybreak cooking food to give to hundreds of people in need at the Center for Hope on East Main Street. This annual event also features free gifts and clothing for children. Just before our newscast, Ernie Mills Jr. with the Durham Rescue Mission called and said, due to the weather, tomorrow's Easter event will be a drive-through. The President and First Lady Jill Biden will be keeping up with tradition, having an educational White House Easter egg roll experience. The Bidens will host activities with a variety of stations that will teach children about farming, healthier eating, exercise, and more. Participants include military and veteran families, caregivers and survivors, as well as the general public. About 30,000 people will take part in the festivities Monday.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, we want to take you live right now to St. Peter's Basilica at the Vatican. There you see Pope Francis providing over the Lord's Passion Liturgy commemorating Christ's crucifixion. Easter, of course, is one of the holiest and most important days on the Christian calendar. This evening, the Pontiff will lead the Stations of the Cross devotion at the Colosseum. And on Sunday, the Holy Father will preside over Easter Sunday Mass in St. Peter's Square. Of course, he's coming off a few days in the hospital battling respiratory illness, but the Vatican says the Pontiff is well and able to continue his Holy Week duties.
An air quality monitoring system got into space thanks to the help of SpaceX. The Falcon 9 rocket launched NASA's Tempo just after midnight. The air quality monitor will track air pollution in North America from Puerto Rico to Canada, and it will be in a geostationary orbit over Earth and is attached to communication satellites. Tempo will be able to monitor air pollutants in major cities down to about 4 square miles.
Our air pollution is getting knocked right out of the sky with a lot of this rain that's coming down
really
today.
It really is. It's been kind of all over the place this week. And I know, Kat, you were saying a lot of the issues have been in Wake County. Where is it going to be this afternoon?
Well, the issues right now are shifting from Wake County really up into Durham and Chapel Hill. It's still going to take some time for the water to back off and recede in parts of Wake County that were hit hard this morning. But we do have a flash flood warning in effect for Durham and Chapel Hill through the afternoon. And I do want to show you some video coming in from Durham, from our photojournalist, where we have seen some heavy rain coming down. You can really see the wind blowing that rain as well. So the roads are getting quite messy around the triangle up toward Durham and Chapel Hill. Please be careful on the roads this afternoon. And if you do run into any flooded roads, turn around and find a safer route home. You can really see that car pushing up a lot of the water. Taking a live look at the radar again, I do want to zoom in to some of our problem spots that we're seeing. Heavy rain just now making its way into Durham and Chapel Hill. It's been raining steadily there, as you saw in Durham, but the intensity of the rain is picking up even more at this hour. And we'll continue to see some of that heavy rain move toward Pittsboro. Not as much activity in our southern counties. Nice little break from the rain in Fuquay Varina as well as northern Harnett County, but the rain is going to fill back in later today into tonight. WRAL weather alert days have been declared both today and tomorrow due to the heavy rain that we expect to see tomorrow, a washout and the flooding threat. An additional 2 to 3 inches of rain expected on top of what we've already seen right along the Harnett County, Wake County line. That's been 4.05 inches of rain, over 3 inches of rain in Apex, Fuquay Varina, and about 2 inches of rain for Gardner, Pittsboro, and Stony Creek. We'll continue to update these numbers throughout the afternoon. Futurecast continues to show this area of rain pretty much over the same areas in the northwestern part of our viewing area, where I think we'll see additional flood advisories this afternoon, but finally shifting to the south as we get into the later evening hours after sunset. So if you haven't seen as much rain like Fayetteville, Goldsboro, Clinton, the rain should pick up for you tonight and Saturday. It is a washout for everyone. Rain chances quickly climb to 100%, and we're back in the zones of heavy pockets of rain throughout the day Saturday. I mean, I could just run Futurecast through, and you get the point. It's going to keep raining, a washout tomorrow, and this is going to lead to some additional flooding concerns and the potential for flash flooding. Another big story today, not just the rain, but check out this temperature map. Absolutely remarkable. It's 58 in Fayetteville, 48 in Boone, 50 in Raleigh, and 78 degrees still in Wilmington. You can see exactly where this front has stalled in the area, and it's going to stay stalled there tomorrow. It's a washout tomorrow from the mountains all the way to the coast. So heads up, there could be additional coastal flooding if you're traveling to the beach for the holiday weekend. And really, if you're traveling anywhere in the state to maybe visit family, it's going to be a messy drive. That's one of the reasons why we issued a WRAL weather alert day. We want everyone to be safe on the roads, especially with the flooding. Small chance for rain early in the day on Sunday, but later in the day we see improvements, and next week we are going to need that sunshine and warmer weather to help us dry out after all this rain that we've seen yesterday, today, and then more on the way.
Yes, I'm just going to focus on next week. Well, coming up, there's a bill in the legislature to improve parade safety.
Yeah, this is all after the death of a young participant in Raleigh's Christmas parade last year. So coming up on WRL News at 5, hear from the state senator, who is the primary sponsor of the Shine Like Haley Parade Safety Act.
And tonight at 5:30, crime concerns in Raleigh's Midtown neighborhood. The new safety fixes police say they are going to put in place on Paula Street.
Meantime, still ahead this noon, it could be the solution to the restaurant industry waiter shortage. Why customers may soon see more robot waiters taking their orders.
Plus, the Pacific wild salmon population is in trouble. How fishery managers hope to replenish those numbers. Welcome back. You are taking a live look at what I think is a Southern Pines golf course. It's a little blurred out from all those heavy raindrops. Well, an unhealthy jobs report we told you about earlier in the noon is expected, but big Easter sales are boosting the economy. Here's a look at today's Money Matters.
The stock market is closed today in observance of Good Friday. When trading resumes next week, the focus will again be on inflation. One of the key gauges on inflation is due out Wednesday. The Consumer Price Index forecasts the CPI rising 0.3% for March. That would be a slower pace of price gains than in February, when the index rose 0.4%. Then a day later on Thursday, yet another look at inflation. The government's producer price index will be released. Friday brings the latest figures on retail sales. All of the economic reports will offer for a look at whether the Fed's efforts to slow inflation have been successful. The Fed doesn't meet again until early May, and some believe policymakers may pause their interest rate hikes at that meeting. And retailers can expect to see higher Easter sales this year. The National Retail Federation predicts consumers will spend a total of $24 billion this year. That's up from $20.8 billion a year ago. About $3.3 billion of that will go for candy, and $1.8 billion for flowers. That's a wrap of business news this Good Friday. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site in New York.
Well, fishermen say even with recent heavy rain and snow, the salmon have not come back since last year's drought. And now fishery managers are taking an extraordinary step to help the population recover. For the first time in 14 years, fishery managers are canceling next year's fishing season off the coast of California. It's a devastating blow for tens of thousands of people who depend on the industry for their livelihood. And the salmon population was already in decline because of the dam construction and extended droughts, all due to climate change.
Walmart has plans to make EV charging stations more accessible. The retail giant announced plans to expand its charging network for electric vehicles. The expansion will add to the 1,300 stations currently available. The effort would provide EV drivers locations to recharge at thousands of Walmarts and Sam's Clubs by the year 2030, including those in rural areas. More restaurants are turning to robots to fill their wait staff. Business experts say robots can help restaurants fill vacancies and alleviate the workload for employees. While many robots can deliver food and greet customers, some restaurant owners are still hesitant about the idea. One company known as Bear Robotics hopes to have 10,000 robots working in the industry by the end of the year.
Well, Disney World is bringing back its annual passes. The Florida theme park will offer three different options at three different price points. The Pirate Pass will cost you $749. The Sorcerer's Pass will run you about $969. And the highest level IncrediPass will fetch $1,300 for a full year's access. Yearly passes were previously paused. Sales start April 20th. Coming up, the WREL weather team has issued a weather alert day for today and tomorrow. WREL's Kat Campbell has an update on the threats for flooding across the viewing area.
And here are the winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Welcome back. You're taking a live look from the WREL storm tracker there on 40 East over in Orange County, and the windshield wipers are moving on a steady clip. We are under a WREL weather alert day both today and tomorrow.
Yeah, a lot of the reason for that, nine counties are under a flood warning. WREL's Kat Campbell shows us who is seeing the heaviest rain right now.
Durham and Chapel Hill, that is where we have the heaviest rain coming down. It is creating some dangerous travel in spots. A live look from Top of the Hill Restaurant. The rain really coming down right now in Chapel Hill. And this flash flood warning is in effect for Southern Orange and Durham counties until 2:15. You can see this band of heavy rain right now moving in, also pushing into Chatham County. So the intensity of the rain and potential localized flooding picking up for Chatham County. Most of the rain at this point is just north and west of Raleigh, but we will continue to see the rain filling in throughout the afternoon. A closer look at some of that heavy rain. Chapel Hill already seeing it right on the doorstep here in Durham. Rainfall totals, there has been a report of just over 4 inches on the Wake County, Harnett County line, but Fuquay Varina, over 3 inches of rain, about an inch of rain in Raleigh and Durham. Roxborough, about a third of an inch of rain there, and over half an inch of rain in Rocky Mount, Wilson as well. We do have some significant totals coming out of parts of Lee County. Sanford seeing almost an inch of rain. Siler City, an inch of rain with more falling at this point. And in our southeastern cities that haven't seen as much rain, more is on the way. In fact, over the next 48 hours, we are expecting to see an additional 1 to 3 inches of rain from the Triangle South. That's going to be an additional 2 to 3 inches. And that is why we have WRAL weather alert days today and tomorrow. We're concerned about ongoing flooding threats. Keely and Jeff.
Yeah, I'll take it from here, Kat, because we are watching radar this afternoon and also watching the WRL storm tracker, which is right now in Orange County on I-40 heading back toward Chapel Hill. I want to take you to those live pictures because right now it is right in the heart of that heaviest rain as it pushes on into the southern side of Durham. You can see just how hard it's raining there with the windshield wipers going, wet roads, and with that flash flood warning in effect, a reminder that you should not drive across a flooded road. And this is going to be a problem through the rest of the afternoon and in spots around the rest of the viewing area, perhaps through tomorrow. I do want to take you to our map here showing those live sensors on the roads and where it is raining the heaviest now there in Chapel Hill heading into Durham. We are seeing the slowest traffic right now as people encounter that heavy rain, reduced visibility, and really slow down, especially on that westbound side of I-40, also on 85 between Durham and Chapel Hill. Durham and Hillsborough, rather, we are seeing some backups. We are hearing that Umstead Drive is closed right around Village Drive in Chapel Hill because of a downed tree. That report came in just the past few minutes from Chapel Hill Police. Elsewhere around the Triangle, our major routes are looking all right, Jeff.
All right, thanks, Brian. At the top of the hour, Michael Gray showed us some of the flooding along Mineral Spring Park in Fuquay Varina, one of the earliest areas hit today hard with rain. Also, a home that was damaged by a lightning strike. Right now, Michael is in the WRL Breaking News Tracker with a look at conditions out there on the roads and how traffic is moving. Michael.
Downtown right now, maybe a slight drizzle, but folks are out and about, though. And, Jeff, as you mentioned, a flash flooding was crazy this morning over there at Mineral Spring Park. Check out this video of what it actually looked like. The water just going above the bridge there into the park and throwing pine needle all up on that bridge. And it was also flooding onto South Spring Avenue. I was walking out there, and it was about the middle of my shin and some pretty strong current. So they blocked off that road entirely, really just an unsafe situation if you were trying to drive through that area. Lightning, also a big concern this morning in Fuquay Varina. We were over out at a house that got struck by lightning at around 7 this morning. The family was asleep at the time. They said they heard a large boom and saw some sparks, and luckily just contained in the attic. They were all able to make it out okay. Minimal damage there, but a very, very busy morning for authorities out here in Fuquay Varina, Jeff.
All right, Michael Grace reporting live for the Breaking News Tracker right now for us out there first, so you don't have to be, and you can track the severe weather anytime with the WRL Weather app. It lets you watch the latest forecast and check out the radar where you live. The WRL Weather app is available for Apple and Android devices.
Switching gears, some breaking news to tell you about. Less than 30 minutes ago, the family of a woman shot and killed by Fayetteville police has announced a lawsuit against two officers and the city. Now, officers shot Jada Johnson 17 times. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays was there at the news conference. And Gilbert, you join us live with what the family is seeking.
Well, Keela, it's pretty simple. The family is seeking justice for Jada Johnson. That's a movement, actually, that is national right now. They're also seeking justice for her three-year-old daughter. She was two at the time of the shooting when this happened. And they're also seeking justice for her grandparents, her grandmother, grandfather. They were inside the home when the shots rang out and Jada Johnson was killed. Let me take you to the press conference this morning. Members of the family were at the press conference. It began with a prayer in the hallway before the family came in front of the cameras. Now, this incident happened July 1st of last year. Her grandparents called the police because Johnson was having a mental health crisis because at the time she believed her estranged boyfriend was trying to harm her. At some point, when officers came inside, Johnson pulled a handgun out and pointed at her own head. The complaint says the officers then put their hands on their weapons. Johnson put her gun down, and her attorney says at that point officers tackled her and shots were fired. Now, we're told while Johnson was still on the floor bleeding, an officer fired even more shots into her body. I've talked with her grandfather. He witnessed the shooting and was very emotional in describing what he saw with his own eyes.
But I can't say of what I saw. And what I saw was murder and escalation. There was a total lack of humanity and compassion. And those officers, I'm asking you now to arrest them today for murdering our baby.
Just a very emotional situation for the grandparents, again, who witnessed that. I mentioned specifically that he's describing what he saw with his own eyes because Judge Jim Ammons has put a gag order on the body cam footage that the parents have seen and the attorneys have seen. So they cannot speak about the body cam footage, but they can talk about what they've seen on their own eyes. At this point, we were told last year the two officers were placed on administrative leave, which is protocol when you have a shooting like this, and the FBI and the Justice Department looking into this case right now. I checked with Fayetteville Police this morning to see if they're still on administrative leave. They said they cannot release that information because it is a violation of that information is not available at this point to the public. Keely?
Wow, you can just hear that heartbreaking emotion from her family. Gilbert, I know you will be tracking this all. Thank you.
Faith leaders in Chapel Hill gathered on this Good Friday to celebrate the actions by civil rights icon Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Clergy members marked the 60th anniversary of King's letter from Birmingham jail. He wrote it in April of 1963. In it, King calls for acts of civil disobedience to create change. Today's events included a peace walk starting at St. Paul AME Church on Merritt Mill Road.
Just ahead, it's called the silent killer for a reason. Coming up, a new study on how common a stroke is without prior symptoms.
And a child with special needs is turning the art world upside down with some beautiful creations. That story's ahead.
Welcome back. You are taking a live look of downtown Fayetteville. Looks like some of the rain has subsided. And speaking of Cumberland County, our county by county coverage takes us to Cumberland and Johnston counties today. Cape Fear Valley Health is relaxing its masking guidelines for the first time for patients, visitors, and staff. And however, everyone must still wear a mask inside the ICU, the ER, and waiting rooms, as well as the triage areas. Also, people with respiratory issues or who are immunocompromised must still wear one as well. And unvaccinated employees must also wear a mask at all times. Well, starting Monday, the final layer of pavement will be placed on the newly widened section of NC 42 East outside of Clayton. The final paving from the Neuse River Bridge to Buffalo Road will take about a month pending the weather. And after the paving is completed, it will take an additional month or two for the contractor to place permanent high visibility lane markings along 4 mile routes.
About 45% of all heart attacks happen without classic symptoms. Now, a new medical study reminds Americans why heart disease is the silent killer. The study says about half of all participants had signs of coronary artery disease, where plaque builds up in the arteries, but they didn't have prior symptoms. About 36% had non-obstructive disease, but with some plaque presence. And 10% had obstructive disease, putting them at risk for heart attacks. Inventors overseas say they have athletic clothing that lets you know when you should stop working out. How these leggings will let you know when enough is enough. Plus,
when he was younger, all we wanted him to do was to grow up and have a normal life.
What a cutie pie. We'll introduce you to an autistic savant who is literally turning the art world upside down. Well, you're going to want to hear about this kid. A 9-year-old autistic savant is turning the art world upside down, literally.
Truly amazing. Stephen Romo sat down with the autistic tiger and his dad about his gift and how he uses it to educate people about the autism spectrum.
Tiger Valak isn't your typical 9-year-old in art class. He was drawing before most kids his age had even finished kindergarten.
I got him a big whiteboard, a bunch of markers, and he just never stopped drawing.
The autistic tiger, as he goes by online, has been drawing since he was 5, wowing his more than 56,000 Instagram followers with colorful caricatures, art on cars, and now even drawing upside down.
I put Mickey Mouse upside down on the whiteboard, and I thought, no way he's going to do this. I mean, we push his boundaries a lot, but there's no way. And I look back and, you know, he's halfway done.
His popular YouTube videos and Instagram posts have made him a fan favorite at conventions, like last year's New York Comic Con, where he was among the youngest artists featured.
So, Tiger, who would you say is your favorite character to draw?
I like to draw Stitch.
He says he likes to draw Stitch.
But his dad says that drawing is not the self-taught artist's only skill.
His two skills is not drawing, it's hyper-focus and hard work.
That hyper-focus, his dad says, has become an art therapy of sorts to help Tiger manage his autism.
We really feel that Tiger drawing has had an incredible impact on him. You know, people are shocked when they see him, how calm he is. They see him at the Comic Cons and they're like, he can handle all the people and all the noise.
And his art is changing his life.
When Tiger was referred to the regional center for testing for autism, I fell down to my knees and I cried. When he was younger, all we wanted him to do was to grow up and have a normal life. And now we still just want him to have a normal life. But obviously, that expectation has changed a little bit.
But in Tiger's art, his father also sees an important message for kids on the spectrum everywhere.
These kids are going to be capable of doing something incredible, okay? Now, not every child is going to grow up and be a great artist like Tiger, but they're capable of something.
NBC Peacock there just for us.
Oh, yeah. Right? Thank you.
Awesome. Stephen Romo reporting. Tiger and his father are encouraging people everywhere to draw their own tiger this month as part of what they're calling the Autistic Tiger Challenge. In honor of World Autism Month, they've also partnered with Walmart for a special shirt featuring Tiger's artwork, which is on shelves now.
I love that. And it's such a good message that these kids can do anything and be incredibly successful in the real world.
Be careful about expectations. You know, they can take a turn, but still work out pretty well. We know what we're expecting weather-wise for the next couple of days because Kat Campbell's in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a good look at it here.
Yep, a lot more rain is on the way, and this is going to be a concern. It's a holiday weekend. Everybody's trying to travel. A lot of folks are, or at least get to a destination, a worship service, a brunch, and we are going to have a lot of rain over the next 24 hours, and this will lead to some additional flooding. A flash flood warning in effect for Durham and Chapel Hill for about another hour and a half. The heaviest rain has just arrived, and it is going to continue. This moving very slowly. A little bit of a break from some of the rain from Raleigh Point South, but this rain is going to be headed your way later on tonight. Temperatures right now, just an incredible map from 43 to 61. We have nearly a 20 degree difference in temperatures across the area. Where we've seen the bulk of the rain is where it's cooler right now, but that cooler air will continue to push south this evening, and it's a chilly rain for everyone tonight. By the time we get to 6, 7 o'clock, a 90% chance for rain. Temperatures in the upper 40s to lower 50s area wide. And when we add on the additional rainfall, this does not count what we have already seen today. We are looking at an additional 2 to 3 inches and many areas on the low end side. It would be an inch, but still that's a significant number. And there could be even more than that in a few spots that see some of the flash flooding like what we saw this morning. We do need this rain. Yesterday, all of the viewing area was placed under abnormally dry conditions on the drought monitor. But we don't need all of this rain so fast. That's the issue here. It is going to be a good soaking rain, but with it all coming down in about 48 hours, the issue is your yard may not be able to soak it all up. Tomorrow, rain likely all throughout the day. It's even cooler than it is today. A washout, 48 degrees, just a raw day. Make indoor plans. Sunday, we're back up to 60. We do have some rain possible early in the morning. And the low Sunday night into Monday morning with skies clearing could fall into the upper 30s. So we'll watch for potentially some patchy frost in our northern counties, though we're not expecting a freeze or a killing freeze anywhere. Sunday, looking at your Easter Sunday forecast, temperatures 41 degrees in the morning. If you're headed to any sunrise services, it's going to be chilly out there. By noon, 51 degrees. By the afternoon, upper 50s to near 60s for highs, and dinner time temperatures falling back into the 50s and 40s quickly that night before falling into the 30s in a couple of spots by early Monday morning. Once we get rid of all of this rain, we see improvements for Sunday. But tomorrow, if I run through Futurecast here, it is just going to keep raining. There's really not a lot of hope for breaks in the rain. So be prepared. Make sure you've got your umbrella with you if you're going to be outside at all. And if you can, stay off the roads and just stay home. I would recommend doing so. The roads are probably going to be messy. Over the next 48 hours, we have weather alert days today and tomorrow. Improvements for Easter Sunday, but more significant improvements early next week. Two mornings in a row with temperatures in the upper 30s, though. A lot going on in our seven-day forecast. So stay tuned for updates. We will have live radar updates for you all afternoon here on WRAL.
And you into the WRA Live Center, an update on that crash that shut down part of Lake Wheeler near Centennial Parkway and the Farmers Market. This is video from the scene early this morning, courtesy of the WRA Breaking News Tracker. Police say two women were road racing, 24-year-old Jocelyn Morrison and 25-year-old Jada Ballin. Morrison lost control of her vehicle and ended up leaving the road and crashing into a tree. She suffered serious injuries and is at Wake Med being treated. Ballin was arrested and charged with felony serious injury by vehicle. The crash remains under investigation. We'll come back to wrap things up with a look at our top stories after the break.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines that we're following for you today. Today and tomorrow are both WRL weather alert days. Our team of meteorologists is tracking heavy rain and flash flooding. Fuquay Varina saw some of the most severe flooding this morning. Some of the areas saw as much as 4 inches of rain. Download the WRAL weather app for the latest forecast throughout the day.
And we are following breaking news this noon. In the last hour, the family of a woman shot and killed by Fayetteville police announced a lawsuit against two officers and the city. In the lawsuit, family members claim Johnson was a victim of domestic abuse and struggled with mental illness. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays will have more details on what else is in the lawsuit tonight on our evening news.
For the first time in 12 months, the jobs report came in below expectations. Employers added just 236,000 jobs in March, coming in below expectations and indicating that the labor market is cooling off. The unemployment rate dropped to 3.5%, according to the March jobs report released today by the government. Leisure and hospitality-led sectors with growth of 72,000 jobs.
Some more wearable tech. A pair of smart leggings can tell you when you've exercised too much. Researchers in Switzerland developed leggings with sensors that monitor your movements and exhaustion levels. The prototype will give an alert through a smartphone app when you need to stop working out. They hope this will help users avoid exhaustion-related injuries. The product is not ready for the market just yet.
Pet of the day time and a super playful, energetic pup who needs a family who can keep up with him. Ed is a 3-month-old neutered male puppy weighing 9 pounds. He may get to be around 45 or 60 pounds. And when he's fully grown, that's his size. Ed was rescued along with his mom and litter mates after they were all found together as strays. Like all puppies, he'll want to have lots of toys and exciting activities to wear out his energy. So he takes a nice long nap at the end of the day. Since Ed is just a baby, he can be introduced to cats, dogs, and kids. His adoption fee is $300. Interested adopters can go to spcawake.org.
I feel like human names have gotten weirder and dog names are like Ed.
I like
it. A little
it.
Weird. Okay. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.